Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy to be in the presence of the living God? Beloved, many had wished to see this day, this very day that the Lord has blessed you with. You did not ask for it. You didn't plan for today. But the Lord God found it necessary to bless you with this day. And so that means he has a purpose for you to glorify his name. And so be happy when you come into the presence of the living God. Don't let anything hold your lips tight in expressing your praise to our living God. The storms of life are not enough to hold our lips tight. The atrocities happening all over, they shouldn't be enough to hold our lips tight. We should have that liberty of spirit to say, thank you, blessed be your name. Today we are privileged to be in his presence once again. And this morning, I'm here to speak on a title, You Shall Not Be Moved. Beloved in Christ, for I believe we are all aware of the challenges and the difficulties that are happening in our present world. Things that we did not plan for, yet it happens to us. It happens to people. It happens to relatives. It happens to friends. We hear them every now and then. We did not ask for them. We didn't plan for them. Yet it's happening. Little do we have control over it. But here, today, I'm here to encourage you that you will not be moved. You will not be moved. Our main text will be taken from Psalm 15, verse 1 to 5. And in the beginning of creation, the Bible made it very clear that there was void, formless, and darkness upon the face of the earth. And at the same time, too, there is this great word that was also upon the earth. The word that was greater than the void, the word that was greater than the formless, the word that was greater than the darkness that was upon the face of the earth. And that word is the word of the living God. That word is the word that became flesh, came and dwelt among us, and now is with us. That word is the only word that has the power to drive away every darkness in life. And so the Bible says, at the appearance of the light, darkness could not comprehend it. It disappears. And that is the very word that you and I need in our time, in our day, in this particular year, to overcome all that are happening. All the situations that we are witnessing. It will be far from you if you believe on the word of the living God. It won't come near you if only you hold on to the word of our living God. And therefore, this morning, I'm here to encourage you that you will not be moved if only your foundation will root it on the word of the living God. Regardless of our past experience, looking at our past life, maybe the years that have gone by, maybe there is nothing that you can't hold on to as to something that the Lord has done in your life. And so probably you feel so worried and dejected. But I'm here to tell you that if you look at this year with a positive mind, with the heart of God, like Simon Peter did in the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 5 down to 9, when Jesus met them, after they have toiled with the crew for the whole night with no catch, and at the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they obeyed, they were able to have more than they could even contain. And they have to ask for some people to come and help. That is the very word that I'm here to assure you that if you obey the word of our Savior, if you obey the word of our commander, there will not be any storm that will be able to overcome you. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Our Lord and Savior, once again, we have gathered before your feet. It is unto your name, O Lord, are we gathered. And therefore we pray that, Lord God, may your Holy Spirit come and fill this place. That the desert lands found in our situations, in our families, in our businesses, in our lives, Lord, may become a fruitful land, O God. That the fruitful land, O God, may be converted into forest for your glory. We thank you, Lord, our God. I pray that even as you minister your word through me to your people, Father, may your word, O Lord, have that great impact to upon my life. To you be all glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Our presiding elder, Brother Darius, last week introduced us into the theme for the year. That is growing together. And I'm here to encourage you that if we get committed to this God-given direction for our life for this year, I can assure you that you will never be moved. Because this is the God-given direction for us this year. Growing together. Growing together. Something that is indispensable in our life. We cannot do without. Because we all know that when we talk of togetherness, there is strength. And so in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. The strength of one person may be overcome. Two are likely to withstand that person. But threefold is not quickly broken, said the scripture. This means that there is much strength in togetherness. When we are together, there is strength. When you are alone, you fall. That is why even the Bible admonishes us in the book of Hebrews 10, verse 25, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As is the manner of others, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some may be, but ours is exhorting one another, encouraging one another, building each other's up, strengthening each other. And so togetherness, you are able to be edified. Together, you are able to be exalted. Together, you are able to be encouraged. How about if you are alone? You'll be missing out of all these things. And the other thing we can see also in growing together is every joint has some potential to supply. And so, as President Adam made mention of last week, Ephesians 4, 13 to 16, he said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You have your share. I do have my share. The effective work is in me. Effective work is in you. And the Lord expects us to supply. To supply. If I refuse to supply as a member, my effective work, which I have to share with the body for the growth of the body, will be missing. And therefore hindering the body from growing. Likewise you. There is something God might have deposited in your life that he wants you to share. That is your effective work in making the body to grow together. As we grow together, we need that effective work. Do not hinder us with that effective work. Don't let that thing lie fallow. Let it be effective for the body so that it may grow together in strength. Beloved, you may be in ministry, like the worship team, like the setup. Your effective work is highly needed. You may be somebody gifted with ability to teach. Maybe your house may not be that big to accommodate 5 or 10 people for a small group. But you can spare some time and travel maybe half an hour to somebody's apartment and lead a small group there. That is something God has placed in you. And that effectiveness, if you hinder others, if you take it away from the body, you hinder the development of the body. People are yearning for fellowshipping, yet you are withholding them from the word because you don't want to spare time journeying half an hour or an hour to a place to share the word. Maybe you may not be that able to share, but your home may be available. You can accommodate 5 to 10 people in your house. Why don't you open up your place for people to come and share fellowship? Maybe that's what God has given you. That is your effective work. Don't hinder the body from that effective work. By so do you hinder a lot of people from growing in the things of God. So I'm here to challenge you that growing together call for all hands on deck. All hands must be on deck. No work is small. Everything is valuable. Whatever you can do, do it with all your might, with all your strength, and with all your heart. Come to the Lord with everything you have and use it in building up his body as we grow together this year. Beloved in the Lord. So what are the benefits of getting this thing done? We become equipped and effective ministers of the new covenant. You are a new covenant minister of God. And you cannot be effective if you are not equipped. And how do you get equipped? You get equipped when we come together, when we learn together, when we encourage ourselves together, when we do everything together, when we pray together, we get equipped so that we become effective ministers of the new covenant that we have been called to be ministers, to reconcile this world back to our living God. The Lord is counting on you. He's counting on me. His hope is on you. His hope is on me. That we'll rise up from our comfort. We will launch out into those places that we find it difficult in getting to and be able to be effective in the people's life. Beloved in the Lord, I'm here to tell you that if we are to grow together, we will never be moved. So what then do we do as we grow together in order not to be moved? That leads us to our main test for the day. And so shall we turn our Bibles to Psalm 15 verse 1 down to 5. Psalm 15 verse 1 to 5. I read from the New King James Version. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. He who does these things shall never be moved. The tabernacle and the holy hill of the Lord described in this particular text is just simply the dwelling place of our living God. That is heaven, the ultimate goal of us growing together. Our aim of us growing together is not just to have maybe good opportunities in life, to live in maybe good places and ride in maybe luxurious cars. As we get together, we get connected, we benefit from each other. That is not the sole aim. That is not the goal. That is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that we may all be with our Father in heaven. If that is not your goal, if you think that maybe if I get together, I'll get to know some people who could connect me to maybe some business contact or some opportunity. If that is your goal, then you are missing it. Even the worldly people could do better than we are doing here. But the main goal, the ultimate goal, is for us to get to heaven. And so as we grow together, if this is not our goal, then please reorient your mind. And then rethink about what have led you to Christ. Maybe you might have been deceived to come to Christ. I'm here to challenge you that the ultimate goal is for us to dwell with our Father in heaven. And that has to drive us. That has to lead us in every step that we take. Beloved in Christ, the Bible says, he who does these things shall never be moved. So what are these things that is required of us? When you look at the verse 2, it reads, it says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who walks uprightly, works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. And all these things are some things that are found in us and want us. Then that has to justify us before God. And so in this particular state, what we can take out of it is getting right with God. Can a man walk upright before the Lord without Christ? Absolutely not. We cannot walk upright before Christ, before God without Christ. Our righteousness without Christ is like a filthy rag before our living God. Hear the word of the living God. So in chapter 9, verse 2, Job said, truly, I know it is so. But how can a man be righteous before God? How can a man be righteous before God? Job acknowledged the fact that man can't do anything to be right with God. But Apostle Paul had the answer in Romans chapter 3 verse 21 to 26, which it reads, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sin that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ." The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And this has appeared to all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all need to be justified freely by his grace. We all need the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is Jesus Christ's relationship, not a religion. This is Jesus Christ's relationship, that which he calls you into a personal encounter, a relationship with him. Not because people are practicing it. Not because I came, I was born in it. Not because I found it maybe harmonious and so I have joined it. But it's a relationship that everyone ought to develop with our living God. Beloved, this is the first requirement for anyone to dwell in the city in the presence of our living God. If you don't have this requirement, no matter how hard you work, your deeds can't afford you that place. Your self-claimed righteousness can't afford you that place unless the righteousness that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the one that came to die for our sins. He took the place of our wrath, which we are children of wrath by nature. But then he took that wrath and went to the cross. He took our punishment so that you and I today can be set free. So if you want to live in that liberty, I introduce Christ to you today to accept him as your Lord and personal Savior. And then in that case, you get right with him. But if you fail to get right with him, mind you, you'll be left behind when he comes. If you fail to get right with our living God, you'll be left behind when he comes. There's no bargain about this. You make right with him and go with him, or you do not make right with him and he comes and then he leaves you behind, because you don't get right with our living God. As believers, we are to serve God's purpose. Maybe you are already a believer. And so you said, fine, for me, I've already made things right with him. Yes, that's true. But we are to serve God's purpose. Even this year, 2015, it's not because God wanted to go through the year. That is why he has given us that year. Or maybe because of last year, our visions, like our presiding elder said, maybe the last year, I want to finish this year. It's not because of that. But the simple reason is that God has a purpose for your life this year. And for that reason, that purpose has to be our driving focus. As a believer, our relationship with God has to be watched. We have to watch it every step of our life. Because it either glorifies God or dishonors God. And so for every step we take in our life, it could be in our business, in our family, in every facet of our life, if those steps are not honoring the Lord, then we should be careful. Because God giving opportunity, maybe time and everything that we have in life, is not for ourselves. It's for his glory. It's for his name. It's for his purpose. And that has to be the ultimate goal that would drive, that should drive our life. And so I'm here to challenge you. That is why in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "For those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who do know their God, they shall be strong and carry out great exploits." For those that will deal wickedly with the covenant, with the opportunity, with everything God has given to you as a child, because he's in covenant with you. If you deal wickedly with what God has blessed your life with, he, God, will corrupt your ways. He, God, will step in and stop you. But for those who do know their God, those who strive to please Him, those who strive to seek for that purpose and to pursue it with all their heart, the Bible said they shall be strong. And not just being strong, but they shall do greater works. Amen. They shall do exploits unto His name. The Lord expects our lives to exhibit greater works, greater exploits, like Daniel did. He was a slave in captivity, yet his life was an example. His life challenged a lot of people, and it's even challenging us even now. Can't we do that today? We can do that. By standing up for the Lord, by declaring that it's the Lord we love, no other thing. By perceiving what the Lord has put before us, but no other thing. As children of God, the Lord expects us to pursue Him as we grow together so that we may not be moved. The second thing that we can see from our text for today is when you read the verse 3, it says, "He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend." And this is relationship based. Having been saved, having come to know the Lord, you are walking with the Lord faithfully. For our faithfulness to be complete, for our obedience to be complete, we need to live in harmony with our neighbors. We need to love our neighbors. Even the Bible admonishes that we have to even pray for those who even hate us. And we ought to love them as well. And so that is something that God wants from us. And so with the second one, right with men, people around our circle of influence, our workplace, people that lives in our neighborhood, people we meet, even the taxi driver you just sat in today to this place, the driver, you have to express love to that person, regardless of how the person may respond to you. We have no justification for people maltreating us. And so we ought to get back at them. We have no justification. The Bible says, admonishes us to express our love. So how does one honor the Lord in our relationship with the brethren? How do we honor the Lord? Apostle Paul indicated something in the book of Philippians 2 verse 3. He said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." A very difficult thing to do. But I'm here to tell you that if we have the love of Christ deeply rooted in our lives, we'll be able to demonstrate this life. Because it's only through the love of Christ, inspired by His Spirit, that one can esteem the other better than himself. And so the Lord admonishes us this morning that we need to get rooted, deeply grounded in His love, so that we'll be able to live in harmony with people around us. The Lord wants us not to give room to backbiting, hurting our neighbors. He wants us to use our tongues in encouragement, in quenching rage, but not in slandering and fueling anger and hating people, even in the body of Christ. The Lord does not want us to use our lives for that, because all these things dishonor the name of our living God. Therefore, in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, the Bible says, "Love does no harm to a neighbor." Love does no harm to a neighbor. The Lord expects us to live in love. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the Lord. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Where there is love, sin has no control. Where we are full of God's love, sin had no place in it. And so why don't we embrace love and drive out sin so that we can be people of light as Christ wants us to be, and see each other in the light of Christ's work on the cross of Calvary, and treat each other in the fear of God. All this could be possible when we are rooted in His love. The love that was shed on the cross of Calvary. No other love had the power to do this. Beloved, the Lord expects us to honor Him with our relationship with people, how we relate with people. And by so doing, you and I can enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord's blessings will be upon your life if you live in the love of our living God. And that takes us to our third point, which is right with self and our choices. The verse 4 and 5 indicate that in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Beloved, having gotten right with God, and then being right with men, one of the greatest challenge that we face is getting our choices, subjecting ourselves under the mighty word of God. That is becomes a struggle that many believers are faced with. And even ministers of God find it difficult. And probably could be some of the reasons why a lot of men of God today have the confidence to file divorce against their partners. Because of their self, because of their choice, because of their way, because of what they want. After all, I've accepted Christ. Yes, I live in harmony with people around me, but this one is about me. This one is about what I want. This one is about my way. We struggle with this third aspect of our life. But if we will be able to grow together, then we need to overcome this particular thing and be selfless before our living God. And so how does one keep his ways pure and holy before the Lord? Psalm 119 verse 9 says, How can a young woman cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. By taking heed to your word. As I began, there is a word greater than all situations. That's in creation. At the beginning were so many things. But there is a word that was greater than all things. And that word overcame all those challenges. And that word is still reigning today. And that word is the word that you and I need to subject our will, ourselves under, to be able to stand in this time that we have so many difficulties, challenges all around. We decide even this morning to come to church or not to. Even living from your house, you could have taken the train to the East Railway Station there and probably find a cafe there, live there, be drinking, and then till it's 12 o'clock, then you go home. Nobody restrains you. Better still, you can even walk to the Hilton. Get down there, maybe be at the lobby, be looking at the beauty of the place, till it's 12 o'clock and you go home. Nobody will come and arrest you for doing that. You have that choice at your own hands. You have the right to decide what to do, to honor, to dishonor, to reject, or to accept. That right is at our own disposal. God has given us this power of choice, and he really respects it. But being at our disposal doesn't mean that it's for our use, but it's for us to use it in a way in honoring to his holy name. And so for all that we have been blessed with, the choices, the opportunities, everything at our disposal, mind you, there's going to be a day that the Lord God will require you to account of those things. You can't dodge that day. You can't dodge that time. That time is allotted before every person who has been born into life. If you've been born into life, there is a day that you stand before our Maker. There's a day that you stand before our Creator to account unto him. That's why even Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not as I will, but thy will be done. Not as I will. He saw that it was challenging. It was difficult. Very shameful. Being hanged naked on the cross. I don't know whether maybe some of us have taken a deep thought about that particular test. How many of us will be confident to probably even take off and then left with our panties standing here? How many of us will be confident to do that? No one. But this man was crucified on the cross naked. He was crucified on the cross naked. Naked. That the women there could not lift up their eyes and behold him.
People there could not look up at him at the cross just because of you, just because of me. And he wants us to subject our choice, our will under him. He wants us to do things for his honor, not for our honor. Because you did not go to that cross yourself. He went there for you. He went there for me. And so all that I do in this life, I must acknowledge that and then do it for his honor and then for his glory. Beloved in the Lord, in this year we may face with decisions that probably may conflict with God's word concerning our life. You may face with so many things that may stand opposing what you want. But in such situation, what will you do? Would you esteem your will above God's word? Or you allow God's word to have his way? That is the challenge that we should be ready to face as we go through this year. There will be a deal before you to just subtract zeros, and then your bank account will be flourishing. There will be a deal before you to just say no, whereas you know it's yes. And then there will be that promotion for you. What will you do? What will you do? Would you go chasing after things of this world just because of little money? Or you stick to what God wants you to do for his honor? What will you do? Are you ready to face shame in this situation? Maybe where you realize that you need money. But here is this young man. He's so rich. And he's asking you for one night. And then you have your bank account. Maybe with one door. Yes. What will you do? Would you go for one door or you go to heaven? The Lord will let us face so many challenges in our life this year. But in all these difficulties, who would we serve? Would we serve the Lord or would we serve our own interest? Beloved in Christ, in the book of James chapter 1, verse 16, it says, therefore, I say, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. We all profess to know the Lord. We all profess to love the Lord. We all profess to do what God wants us to do, but when we are faced with a challenge, we are faced with a time to make a choice for the Lord, we deny him. And the Bible says it's abominable, it's disqualifying, it's disobedient. And therefore, our works becomes unclean before him. Are we ready to stick to the Lord in obedience? Are we ready to do whatever we profess before our living Christ? For that's the challenge for our lives. For our attitude this year in obeying God's word can turn a soul to Christ or can drive a soul away from Christ. Know it for sure that for everything we do this year or any time God will give to us, it either encourages somebody to keep growing in the Lord or will drive somebody away. Or will cause somebody to be embittered about the God that we are serving just because of our attitude and our choices in this life. And therefore, you and I today, there is a challenge for us to be watchful of our attitude this year. What attitude are we putting up? When we continue our reading, we have some challenges that we are to face. And in the verse 4, at least we have four areas of challenge that we need to consider. The very first one is evil men. In a reading from the verse 4, it says, in whose eyes a vile person or a wicked person is despised. For the people that probably have accepted the Lord, are walking with the Lord in faithfulness before the brethren, are in service to our living God, doing everything God wants them to do, and have subjected themselves under the leading of God's word, they still have the challenge of deciding as to support an evil person or maybe be in alliance with somebody who is evil. As believers, we are not to hate. That is solid. We are not to hate people, but we are to hate the evil of their life. That which they do is what man ought to hate, but not the personality that we ought to hate. That is why Jesus, in his life, the people that hated his ministry, he didn't hate them, but he hated their deeds. What they were doing, he condemned it.
Regardless of how influential and powerful these Pharisees were, they could not obtain the Lord Jesus' support. And this is what we must also stand for. We should have nothing to do with evil men for any gain in this life. Maybe because of financial gain or whatever you are looking for, you are going into alliance with somebody who is evil. It's very dangerous. You know so well that the deeds of this person is evil. The Bible admonishes us never to go in alliance with such people. What alliance with the house of God to do with the house of Baal? Prophet Elijah would not have looked to King Joram, the king of Israel, had it not been King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, with him. Because King Joram, at that moment, had committed a lot of evil before the Lord, and the Lord sees him as an evil man. So when they came to Prophet Elijah, Elijah said, had it not been King Jehoshaphat, I would not have looked at you. And what is that teaching us? All that we have to learn from this is that we should be careful whoever we enter alliance with. We should be careful with whoever we enter alliance with. And that can be found in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. Downwards, you can find the full story over there. The reason why we should be careful is that for evil men, they will call evil as good. Evil men will call evil as good. And so the Bible says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Saith the Lord. If you are in alliance with somebody who calls evil for good and you call good good, light light, you are in trouble. Because there will never be agreement. Because his social values or his values in life are not the same as your values. You are not of the same kingdom. So his values are different. And so the Lord said, woe to that person. And for that matter, we should watch our alliance very, very careful. The second thing is, he honor. But he honor those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. To all good men, we owe a debt of honor. And we have no right to hand over what is their due to evil persons. Simply because those evil people are at high places. You can't do without them. Who told you that? You can do without evil men. Because you have one who is greater than them. So just petition that person. And the decision of that evil man will be overruled. The Lord expects us not to give honor to those that are evil. But rather honor those that honor is due. When it comes to faithful men in their offices, it is our duty to respect their office. In Romans 13, verse 7, render honor to whom honor is due. It's our duty. And in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ admonishes us about swearing. And here, the conclusion is that, he said, but I say to you, do not swear at all. Do not swear at all. You can find the full story in Matthew 5, 34 to 37. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Do not swear as a man of integrity. The third is no gambling. This is quite dicey, but as the Lord leads, I'm going to talk about it. He who does not put out his money at usury. Usury is a hateful thing to our living God. Because usury is generally understood as the gain of anything above the capital. The gain of anything above the principal. That is usury. And a typical example or examples are gambling and probably loaning. You gain more than you gave. And in this case, our Lord hates it. In his body. And so in the book of Exodus chapter 22 verse 25 and 26. It says, if you lend money to any of my people. If you are reading, just take care of it very well. Any body of my people. Any of my people.
any of the lost people, any of the people in the city of God, any of the people in the body of Christ, any of the people in the heavenly Jerusalem, if you lend anything to those people, says the Lord, who are poor among you, you shall not be like the money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. That says the word of the Lord. My people. God does not want us to be robbed from lending to him. That is the secret that I caught from that understanding. Because it's better to lend to the Lord and have interest from the Lord than to lend to human beings. Because, of course, the person is already broke. And so if you are charging more, it's like you are squeezing water from the rock. And the Lord displeases that. But if you lend to the Lord, if you give it to the poor because you are doing it for the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, that's Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. It says, for he who has pity on the poor and lends to him, lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. He who had pity and gives to the poor, the Lord himself will pay back what has been given. So for me, I've termed it as investing in God's pocket. And that's the only pocket that does not go bankrupt. Every investment opportunity in life goes bankrupt at a point in time. They seek for help. But the only pocket that doesn't seek for help is our Father's pocket. So if you are lending to a poor, God doesn't want you to be robbed from investing into his pocket. So he said, don't take interest. If you can't afford, let the person take it for free. But if you can't, when he brings it back, that amount, just take it. Don't be as a money lender. Because he wants you to be beneficiary of investing into his pocket. That he will bless you. Beloved in the Lord, delight in investing in God's pocket and you'll be blessed this year. Amen. No bribe, finally. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Bribery is a sin both in the giver and the receiver. Exodus 23 verse 8 indicates that. Because bribe blinds and changes decisions of the righteous. Therefore, it's only wicked people that takes bribe. If you read Proverbs chapter 17 verse 23, it said, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Bribery is not to be found in our tabernacle if you want to please our living God. The Bible says, he who does these things shall never be moved. No matter the storms that shall rise against us this year, no matter the difficulties that we shall face, we shall be secured and solidly founded on our living Christ if we stick to these things that the Lord is admonishing us so that we shall not be moved. Our dominion will be like Christ. We will reign forever, just as he reigns forever. In conclusion, beloved in the Lord, as I already indicated, that our focus in growing together is that we shall be with our Father in heaven. If at the end of our toil and service in this land or in life, if we are not able to be with our Father, then in life we are the most miserable people in life. Probably you have dodged all those pleasures those people are doing just because you want to get to heaven and you did not commit yourself well to it to get to heaven. Then you've missed the truth. How miserable is that? For them, probably they had gotten their portion of life. And so they've got one. Beloved, I'm here to challenge you. As the scripture reads, our ultimate goal for us this particular year is for us to get to heaven. Growing together to get to heaven. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? In other words, who shall be admitted in the one to be one of the household of God, to live with God forever? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who shall be a citizen of Zion, an inhabitant of the heavenly Jerusalem, except the one that has the wedding dress of righteousness in Christ Jesus? Who can join this banquet? Who can join this banquet of the saints? The banquet for the saints will certainly come. But the qualification is the people that are dressed
with the wedding dress of righteousness in Christ Jesus. And therefore, who may live with him when our work and our service on earth is done? Heaven is the dwelling place of our living God, and he wants us to be there, but not in any other condition than those who accept his son's gift of salvation by faith. If you do not know Christ our Lord, there is no way you can be upright and walk righteousness before our living God. As said in Job, how can a man be righteous before God? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all of us, we need the justification of our living Christ, the redemptive work through Christ on the cross of Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus today if you have not yet received him. Come to our Savior today if you have not yet made that decision to accept him, so that together we can grow to be like him in his body and be with him forever. Or you might be a believer already, yet you know that your character and conduct towards humanity and the saints is very, very disappointing. You are so consumed with self, so much so that you don't care what you do to satisfy your selfish fleshly need. You end up bribing, gambling to get your way. Others trade their integrity and virginity for financial gain. All these dishonor the name of our living Lord. We might be full of anger today towards a member of the body, resentful and full of bitterness. These are poisonous elements that happens to poison the body, does not promote healthy growth. It hinders the growth of the body and never allows us to stand firm before our living God in faith. Beloved in Christ, it dishonors the name of our living God and also grieves the Holy Spirit that is in us. Therefore, in Ephesians 4, chapter 30 to 32, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Our attitude grieves the Holy Spirit. We are to turn away from grieving the Holy Spirit. We are to turn away with things that are evil, that hinders the Spirit of God from being manifested in our life, and bear fruit that will lead others to repentance. And so in conclusion, in Luke chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, we are warned over there that therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, "We have Abraham as our father." I'm a believer. I'm a saint. I'm a tongue-speaking person. I'm a Holy Ghost-baptized person. Whatever. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham for these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. God has the right to cut down every tree he has planted for fruit, but refuses to bear fruit and throw it into fire. That right is left at his disposal. And he's warning us to bear fruits of repentance as we grow together. As we grow together, the desire of the Lord for us is bear fruit that leads people to repentance, that leads people to salvation, that challenge and renew life, that brings about the glory, honors the Lord. For if we don't do that, he says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his deeds." My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his deeds. Shall we stand as we pray? At this hour, I just want you to take just a minute and reconsider your own situation. Maybe you don't know Christ, so all that we are saying here seems difficult for you to understand. The first thing for you to consider now is to just open up your heart and accept the gift of salvation through Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him today as the beginning of a new year. Come before God. Let this be a memorial before you, that for the past year, things have not been okay. But then when I made a decision to follow Christ, to surrender everything to him, there's been a change. I'm here to encourage you. If you've not made that decision, this could be the time for you to make that decision for our living Christ. And I can assure you, your life will never be the same. You might be here, you know Christ already. You are faced with difficulties, challenges. The storms are too hard for you to bear. The burden is too much for you to carry.
The Bible says, cast your burdens upon me. The Lord says, cast your burdens upon me. Today, if you cast that burden upon Christ, He's able to bear them for you. He'll give you a relief. Just go to Christ. Just seek for His strength. Seek for His grace. Ask for His forgiveness. Rededicate your life to Christ. Surrender everything to Him, that He should come and take control. As He leads us through this year for His glory, our Lord and King, our Savior and Father, thank You for today. For Your word has come to us. Your word, O Lord, which is life, is active, is living. And Your word has the power to fill every void, to create shape, to form us, to drive out every darkness. Father, we surrender to You, Lord, all that is about us, all that is within us, O God. We pray that You come and take preeminence, O Lord, over our lives, over our families, over our working situation, over our studies life, every aspect of our life. We surrender them unto You as we begin this year. Father, be the light that we need in darkness. Be the strength that we need in weakness. Be the hope that we need in problem, in moments of problems, O Lord. Strengthen us, O God, and lead us through this life. We thank You that, Lord, You have a place, O God, to hide us. In the face of artificial and naturally planned disasters. Father, we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, You hide us in Your pavilion. As we go through this year, Lord, may You hide us, O Lord, in Your dwelling place. That no harm shall befall us, nor our family members. You shall keep us safe and sound until Your purpose concerning us is fulfilled unto You. Thank You, our King. Without us.